are listening to Polsinelli Podcasts, a weekly podcast produced by national law firm Polsinelli, providing practical legal guidance for better business decisions.
You're a successful business owner who spends most of your time operating your business. While you probably have a business succession plan, does it coordinate with your estate plan? Joining us now to talk about this is Polsinelli shareholder John Schmidt. John's the chair of Polsinelli's wealth planning practice and for more than 30 years has helped prepare clients for their immediate needs and their long-term goals. So, John, you do planning for business owners. Tell me what kind of planning you do.
Well, I plan estate plans and I do business succession plans. And those are two categories, but underneath those broad categories are lots of variables. So I work with families and all the dynamics of the family. I work with the finances of a business to maintain its profitability and cash flows and make sure it can handle all the transitions that a business succession plan deals with. We deal with tax efficiencies. I tell my clients, you really hire me to look around the corner. I'm the person that tries to anticipate your future, both with your wealth, your family, and your businesses, and make sure we have an orderly transition for things that we can anticipate.
So on one hand, you have the succession plan, and then on the other, you have the estate plan. How often are you seeing these two not shaking hands?
That's a good way to characterize it, because I often see they are not shaking hands. They are not properly coordinated. Let me give you an example. If I have a business owner come in and say, in the next 5 years, I want to sell my business. That's a lot different circumstance than the business owner that comes in and says, I want to have my business stay in my family for five generations. Every business owner wants to sell when the opportunity is there, but quite a few of them want to maintain it for multiple generations. And so at that point, your business succession plan is going to end up in your estate plan, and it's going to end up in the trust you draft, the trustees that are named. It's going to end up in long-term business owner entities owned in probably irrevocable trusts. They need to coordinate. There are lots of concerns, but if you coordinate, you can really create assurance that there will be smooth transitions, and you are increasing the probability that you can keep the business in the family.
John, what are the basics of a succession plan?
Well, without going into too much detail, because you can get there very quickly, but I guess it starts out whether you're a corporation or a limited liability company, because there's little different sets of circumstances for that. But certainly you need to make sure that you analyze the financial and cash flow interests. For example, can the owner afford to retire? If the owner becomes disabled, can you afford that? Can you afford a buyout at death? So all these transition issues need to be covered. And the first place you normally go is define triggering events. So if I have, let's say I have three owners and we're dealing with one owner's plan and we want to define triggering events. That can be retirement. That can be disability. That can be voluntary transfers. I just want to sell my business, but I don't want to sell it to a third party if my other owners want to buy it. I have involuntary transfers. My marriage doesn't work, and my ex-wife, in my case, wants part of my business. And then death. So we define these triggering events, and then the remaining owners will either have the right for an option to buy it, or they will mandatorily be required to buy it. And then you get in the very tough one. A very tough part is how do you value a business? Mm-hmm. And there's numerous ways you can do it, whether it's by agreement, by appraisal, by a formula. But it's very important that we understand when those events happen that we've valued them properly. So those are the essential parts that you're dealing with, those transitions. And then once you get to a purchase price, how do you pay it? Do you pay it right away? Is there insurance to pay it and so forth? So lots of moving parts, but very essential to plan properly.
You mentioned that you work with a lot of family-owned businesses. How important are they to our economy?
Well, we all talk about jobs. I'm sure every politician running for office right now is talking about jobs, and I think of it in a couple of different ways. Number one, if you have a business in a community with 100 employees, that business is essential to that community, essential to the community's vitality. those families are supported, the leadership is participating in community events. So there's a community aspect that goes just beyond job numbers. And then the other dynamic, I think, is keeping it in the family. There are some statistics that say going from the first generation to the second generation, only 30% make it. Going from the second generation to the third generation, only 12% make it. Going from the third generation to the fourth generation, only 3% make it. So when we're talking about this roughly 70-year period of time, not very many make it. And it, there may be lots of reasons why the business was sold, but if it's for failure to plan, then that's what we want to address, because we want it to get from as many generations as our business owner wants them to the duration that what they want it to be held in the family.
You talked about the basics of succession planning, but let's talk a little bit about the some of the elements of basic estate planning.
Sure. We're focusing now on the family and the wealth of the family, and so we're dealing with how do you organize that wealth so there, again, are smooth transitions. So the basic documents are you'll normally have either a trust or a will. A living trust tends to be used a lot more because it avoids probate. You also need to make sure you have financial powers of attorney in place. You need to make sure you have health care documents, a living will, a health care proxy. And then you need to understand some of the tax aspects of planning. We deal a lot in our wealth planning practice group with transfer taxes, estate tax, gift tax, generation skipping tax. So Uncle Sam now, as starting in 2011, has finally made those exemptions certain. They're now at $5,430,000. So we want to make sure that we have done everything tax efficiently. And one more point is every asset that passes through a state, a capital asset, gets a new basis. So we want to make sure we've planned properly so we don't have capital gains selling. And then we're going to be most probably going into long-term trusts because they just provide advantages on tax efficiencies and on asset protection. And so those are the basics of the estate plan. Again, we can talk about a lot of variables. That's kind of an overview.
Although this will vary from person to person, what are realistic goals that business owners should strive to set?
Well, when I talk to the client, I always say, your job is to give me the goals. My job is to give you the strategies and the process to accomplish your goals. So in the family context, like all of us, we want to make sure we can afford retirement. If I would pass away, I want to make sure my wife is secure. We all want our children to be educated, be physically and emotionally healthy, and be productive adults. And we also want to manage our business profitably and successfully. So there's business planning goals. A lot of times it's not just the biological family, but it's also the work family. And so you have key management and employees that you're very loyal to. You want to make sure that you retain their jobs and you can afford to retain key management. Sometimes you'll have some children participating in the business, some not, and you still want to be fair no matter who's involved, but that brings a different set of challenges of being fair to the children that aren't in the business. So those are typical goals that you try to accomplish. A couple more. Maybe being a good citizen in the community, if you're successful, is really if your business is very successful, philanthropy may be part of that. So ultimately, you want your business to pass to the next generation, and we're trying to get to that goal and figure out how to make that happen.
You touched on this, but the costs of not coordinating the business succession plan and the estate plan?
The costs are disruption of your business if you don't do it right. So disruption, I guess, is the result you're trying to avoid. What are some examples of that? Well, if your business succession plan didn't deal with the owner employee who all of a sudden quits, a minority owner, and now you need to buy them out, pretty soon you end up in litigation. If an owner dies and we may have several families involved, if you haven't anticipated the fair value and who's still involved, so the owner dying can cause controversy and conflict within families, that can end up in litigation. If an owner dies and there's a large unanticipated estate tax, that can affect operations and ability to continue. If an owner goes through a divorce, that's a very disruptive event, and so your succession plan will deal with involuntary transfers and making sure there's some order to how the business interest gets bought out. And if an owner wants to sell his company and is not ready to sell, I think It's like selling your house. You have to get it ready. And if the company isn't in good order, all the leases in place on the real estate, all the financial information in, all the HR documentation not done, so you need to have your business ready to sell if that's your goal. Sometimes you have a company that's, or you can have a company that's a sub S corporation, and it goes into a trust that will revoke the sub S. That can be very disruptive. Then the thing I said earlier about some children being in the business and some not being in the business, you know, I've been on boards where we've had owners that are not involved day-to-day in the management, and even though you can work very effectively with that, but most of those owners are more interested, maybe more interested in lifestyle and other things than growing the company. So dealing with those dynamics and those transitions are important.
John, interesting stuff. Thank you so much. And if you'd like more information on this topic, go to our website, Posanelli.com, and look under our Wealth Planning Administration page, and you can read more about John Schmidt by going to our Professionals page. We want to remind listeners that the choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based on advertising. And the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only. It's not intended to be any kind of legal advice. And we'll catch you next time on Posanelli Podcasts.